I said at 7:30 this morning, it's been, I think, around 6 months since I preached for the congregation. So it's splendid to be here with you again and also to continue to be with those who are watching online. What are the stories we tell ourselves? You know, the stories that become part of our personal narrative about life and who we are. They shape how we understand the world and tell us about its meaning, about whether we see God present in the world or if it's just every person out for themselves. The parable from the gospel today points to the personal story the central character was listening to. At least we can imagine what it might have been and how it caused him to live. This parable may help us learn something about ourselves, too. Specifically, it might help us understand and possibly change how we narrate and live our lives. Now, to give you some context, if you remember last week's gospel, as well as today's, you know the theme in both is about forgiveness. What do we do when someone fails? When they fail us or when we fail someone else? Last week, we heard about a practical spiritual process that, if followed, can restore relationships in the life of the church. This week, we have Peter speaking up to try to clarify the rules about forgiveness. Peter asked, "How often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Now, I think that's a reasonable question. 7, frankly, seems like a lot. I have stopped before after 3 or 4 times. I'm not recommending that. But as Jesus so often does, he takes what seems reasonable and then gives a totally unreasonable answer. And depending on our translation, Jesus replied 77 times or even 70 times 7. In other words, 500 times. Jesus has moved from the realm of the practical spirituality of last week. You know, 3 steps to restoration that I can understand and even practice. To giving us advice that is hard to understand, much less to follow. I can tell you, though, it's not him telling us how to keep score. You keep track of every time you have to forgive. That's not the point. So what does it mean? Well, let's look at the parable. The details are pretty straightforward. A king wished to settle accounts with his servants, including one who obviously had great financial responsibility. That servant owed an astronomical sum. Depending on how we convert it to modern equivalents, it would be, in our world, tens or maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars. He had fallen short, big time, in whatever he was doing for the king. And now he and his family are going to suffer total loss. But then the parable takes an unexpected turn, something, frankly, that might be hard to even believe. The king sees this man and hears his plea for patience and a promise to repay, and he decides to simply forgive him. Unreal. Now, that's a story to remember. But this dramatic development would involve a significant change in the story the man had been telling to himself about himself. He could no longer be a high roller able to rack up millions in debt in order to pursue his big deals. Instead, he would be a failure, someone who got a second chance. But apparently, he decided not to listen to that new story. He tried desperately to keep the same story he had before. He told himself he would get back on top again. And by keeping that old story, It made him act a certain way. He became an aggressive and violent debt collector. He went after someone who owed him much less than what he had owed. Perhaps, again, in modern equivalents, $10,000 as opposed to as much as $400 million. And when his debtor made the same exact plea he had made, he ignored him and threw him into prison. Not a good story at all. Now, what could our friend in the parable have listened to instead? What could he have been telling himself? First, to hear himself say, "I fell short." No excuses, not blaming or attacking others, not defending or justifying himself. Be honest in the story he told. How scary that would have been for him. But I bet it would have been freeing, too. He had received a clean slate. Amazing. That could have been his new story. If it had taken root in his heart, he would have lived differently. I can imagine him looking up all the people that owed him money and saying, "Guess what? You know that debt you owe me? Forget it. We're going to start fresh." The echoes of grace he had received would have resounded through his life. But he didn't do that. Now, there is at least one caution to remember. I have talked about this from the point of view of the man who owed so much and mistreated someone so awfully. But of course, that's not the way everyone's story goes, whether in real life, each of our stories, or in the parable. You see, there were other characters in the story, the one who was abused, of course, and the witnesses who told the king what was happening. All of their stories were important and helped to bring things right. In our own lives, we need to know our stories, and we need to listen to other people's stories too. By listening to them and speaking up and bearing witness to the reality of our lives and the lives of others, that helps to bring healing, to bring forgiveness and justice to our world. So what does that mean for us? What can we do in response to this parable? How can we look at the details of our lives and remember and tell our stories in a way that changes how we live, how we see other people? Well, let me give you an example from my life to update the parable, so to speak. A narrative I often tell myself, and I say it in different forms, in different situations, is to see life in terms of right and wrong. And that's not a bad story. But as I've learned over many years of living, it's incomplete at best. Make no mistakes, there are situations and even systems that are right and wrong. And being aware of that empowers me to passionately work for justice. But here's where I get off track. When I begin to see individuals as right or wrong, and then to react accordingly. Now, this past Thursday, Dr. Catherine Meeks was providing training to our parish, to our staff and clergy, and Catherine told a wonderful story that I needed to hear. She said one day she was driving along and she heard the whisper of the Spirit that told her that God loves Lester Maddox and Idi Amin just as much as God loves her. Now, you may need to Google Lester Maddox or Idi Amin. But they're kind of bad. Now, that thought troubled her and interrupted the story she was telling herself. Now, to be clear, both of those men had gotten way off track in their lives and needed to be brought back, be brought back to the center, brought back to God, just like the servant in the parable. But the deeper story for Catherine and for them and for all of us is God's love for the whole world, even the people we don't like. Now, I intend to remember her story and tell it to myself, especially in these times, which can be challenging and even divisive. I've reminded myself at least twice in the last day. So that's how that can work. And then this is the big part. If we listen to the Spirit like Catherine did and interrogate them, interrogate our stories, as she might say, we can start to change how we live. If we do, we may become humbler. We come to know who we are really, that we need God's grace and forgiveness, and so does everybody else. That can cause us to become more grateful to God and to the people in our lives who love us, even when we're not always easy to love. These new and fuller stories we tell ourselves remind us that we live in a world of God's grace. It's not about keeping count of how often we forgive someone. That's not the point at all. That's why Jesus gave these ridiculous numbers. Rather, it's about passing on the grace we receive freely from God, continually and with no exceptions. But we also need to remember that God's grace has an edge to it. When others are hurting, grace calls us to stand up and call out what we see that's causing harm and work to set things right according to God's desire, that all people can flourish and feel safe and be well. That's God's grace too. So our homework for this week is to call up those stories. Some of them we listen to subconsciously. Some are oldies and goodies, and some are baddies that may even go back for generations. And then listen and say, what are they telling us about ourselves? What are they telling us about our church and our nation? And how do we live based on our stories? To take time to interrogate them again, to see if they're accurate. Are they complete? And are we hearing other people's stories that give us a fuller picture of this world? How do others see what we see? This week, let us begin to listen for all those stories of grace, how God is constantly working in our world. And over time and with God's help, we can change the way we live in a way that can help to change our world. Amen.